it's Bree, and my show, Bree TV, is now on the After Party every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on the B-side. Tune in and call in so we can talk about everything from relationships, religion, politics, sex, travel, or gardening. Remember, Bree TV every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the After Party. See you at the party.
My mental thoughts at play. A ghetto sauce you are, and I'll be your sexual chocolate bar. And I gotta keep strong for the cause, and you gotta keep me strong for the tours. Brother, man, and me, damn the family. What else could we be with no one understands us but me? You were the first to change. Big T, I'm out.
Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. It's Bree on Bree TV at theafterparty.com. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
I'm good.
Like every other week, I'm having problems with my
with my live feed. I can't ever get it right. I don't know what's happening here. Okay. We got, we're going to do the second part of our Black Men's Roundtable, which we did, I think, end of March, end of February, end of March. And we had some gentlemen come in, and we were discussing issues that, you know, pertain to Black men and that were germane to Black men. And it wasn't anything like no blaming Black women, no talking about dating and blah, 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 and whatever else. It was basically all Black men stuff. So we have some different people that are in the studio. And I have a couple people that are coming in a little bit later because they're in traffic and what have you. But we are basically going to kind of, I don't want to say pick up where we left off, because it was a little different show, and because we have different people, it may not dovetail with that. But I figure there's enough issues that or concerns that Black men have that we can discuss whatever. One of the people that is in studio with me is my nephew, Brendan. And I'm not sure if he gets to talk yet, because I don't know how the show is going to go. And I don't want to say anything, you know, and then it'd be out into the universe forever and ever and ever, and then we can't ever give it back. So I'm kind of protecting him. And one of my guests is
Billy Ray from Uncommon Sense. We're on the A-side every Wednesday night from 8 to 10, so right after Bree TV.
Okay, you on the no-cuss side.
Right.
Oh, my God.
It's tough.
Okay, good, because I'm like, that's not how my show goes.
I know. I'm ready to go ahead and okay. Enjoy myself on this side, okay. So there's another side of me.
Okay, because I don't want, I say stuff.
Yeah.
So, Eric.
What's that?
Are you going to be able to participate with us today?
I'll try my best.
That's a no.
Two shows.
Right. Well, okay. Hold on. Every week, I swear to God, that live beat tries to fucking kill me. Every week. Then now the power stripped. The power wasn't on. Okay. And he done messed around and bought in some flipping Haribo.
Those good old Haribos. They're special.
Yes, I love these. So you heard a little bit of the first show.
Yes.
Did you get the concept of what we were doing?
I kind of followed it. Like I said, I don't want to be the one to lie. I caught it toward the end of my night when I was about to fall asleep. But I did see that you were kind of addressing certain issues or asking guys to kind of, you know, respond to certain issues.
Right. And what I wanted with that show was for... I wanted it to be, I didn't want there to be any structure right away. Like when I contacted the guys, I didn't give them any structure. I didn't give them, okay, well, we're going to discuss this, this, and this. So I didn't want them to have an opportunity to formulate anything.
Right.
I wanted them completely off guard, and then I was just going to push them over the
edge. Right.
So then they can kind of figure out whatever. I felt like I would get more truthful answers
absolutely.
Way, which is what I wanted. And one of the things that we did... was to one of the things that I was saying is that I believe that if you fix what is wrong with Black men, then you can fix what's 80% of what's wrong with Black people.
Okay.
One of the guys was a little uncomfortable with that because he was like saying fix was like he thought was a bad word. And I'm like, I go, no, it's broken. And you can't say, oh, you know what, I have a cold if you actually have cancer. Because
right.
if you get treated for a cold, you're not actually treating what the problem
the
is.
Exactly.
So that was kind of our thing. And I think for them, it was, for a couple of the guys, I think it was a little uncomfortable for them. One, because he was a pastor and I don't do well with religious people on my show.
Yeah.
I don't do well with religious people on my show. And now listen, I respect everybody's religious beliefs, but what I find to be the issue is a lot of times most of the time everything has to go through their Jesus filter.
Okay.
And that may not be where we're trying to get to. And I think that most people live outside of that realm of being super religious. Even if they say that they are, I don't think that they necessarily are. So I think also for them, my personality is a little brash for people. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you'll be fine.
It is what it is.
Yeah, you won't hurt for long. You'll be over in a little bit, a little scrape. You'll be fine. But I think that for a couple of the guys, it was uncomfortable and maybe called into question or made them think about some of the things that they were saying. And one of the guys who's coming, that's coming in a little bit, Micah, was especially, he was really good. The program, it was very good for him, and it was good because he was ready.
Okay.
He was ready. He didn't have a relationship with his father, which is one of the things that we had talked about with men, how they handle, as I was saying on the show, that women talk to each other. Women, we know things. We do things. We, whatever is going on, women will talk to other women. We will talk to young girls. We will talk to whomever. We talk, so we get things worked out. We have more of a community thing going. With guys, I don't know that men necessarily feel that inclined to talk to other men because it's seen as a weakness.
Right.
So what happened with Micah was he was saying how his father, he grew up without his dad, and that he basically, that's what he wanted. So he excelled at sports and, you know, different things that he did. He excelled at those things because for him, it was to get his father's attention, to get his approval, to get his dad just to be like, hey, you know, to acknowledge him.
Right.
And he'd written a book, but he also talked with his dad, or he was ready to have the conversation. Like, he had spoken with him, but he was getting to a point where he was ready to have the conversation with his dad. Like, okay, well, you know, what's going on? Why wasn't I good enough? Or whatever that conversation is with men that they would have with their dad or any parent, I guess. So it was really good for Micah because he got it. He understood what the point of the show was.
Right.
And he understood what it was for him. And he was ready to move forward with it. So, you know, he said he's written a book, and he just, different things that he does as a man, he makes a conscious effort. What I took from it is he makes a conscious effort to pay attention, to be aware of, oh, okay, well, you know what, if I didn't have my dad around, so I do X, or, you know what I mean? Or how he relates to women based upon this, and just the things that men, how that affects men.
Right.
So what I wanted to do, today was really talk to men about how men get past it, like how you move past whatever it may be. Maybe you don't have, maybe your father wasn't in your life, or maybe you had both parents, but, you know, whatever. One of the guys, you know, both his parents, he was raised by both parents. But what I took from the conversation is it sounded like his mother was the dominant personality.
Okay.
And so that's also, that has an effect because it's a situation. Sometimes, you know, the dad may be the dominant personality. The mother may be. Sometimes you get in a situation where they kind of trade off with each other.
Right.
Sometimes you grow up without your father and you're okay with just your mother. You know, maybe other men step in and, you know, fill that gap.
Right.
Or they don't. You just, your mother is that person. It's a good match of, I'm a kid that's going to listen, and my mother's a parent that's going to talk to me, and, you know, we're going to understand stuff may be difficult, and, you know, whatever it is, you have that match. It's okay, because everybody's situation may not be the same.
Correct.
Just because your dad isn't around doesn't mean you grew up hating your father, or you're a girl with daddy issues, and if you have them, you may have them to varying degrees. It doesn't mean that, oh, you know, every dude that says hi to you, you dropping your drawers because he said hi and he's paying attention, you know. So it was just different. So my deal today was to kind of, if possible, overlap with that, but then also look at what men do to move forward.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And just in terms of dating, parenting, and when I say dating, I mean not so much, like, I hate for dudes to, oh, well, you know, the woman did or she didn't, like, they don't have any responsibility in the situation.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of deal. So now that I've laid that groundwork, what is your situation. Like, are you a father? You come from a home with your father, not, you know, what's the deal?
Okay. Well, for me, it's funny you mentioned that. So I was like the latter of the guys that you were talking about. I grew up with both parents, my biological father and my mom. Okay. They raised me and my younger sister. Now, my dad did have outside children from before my mom. So, but as far as I knew from the time I was little, all I knew was my dad, my mom, and my sister. And it was just us, the four of us. In terms of who was the more dominant person, I would say my dad worked a lot. My dad used to work for DART. Now, he's deceased. Now, he passed away December 31st, 2007, so almost 10 years ago now. But he worked for DART. He was working all the time, doubles.
So he's the provider.
He was definitely the provider. That's all I remember him doing. I tell people this story all the time. As a kid, all the time that I played sports through high school, I can remember my dad being there maybe three games of all sports that I played throughout junior high, high school, and everything. And it was because he was working all the time. I don't think back then I didn't necessarily miss it because I knew I would see him at home. My mom was very supportive. She would come out and those types of things. So my mom was more the person that was there for me for the events and the everyday occurrences of life. But in terms of, I never had to want for anything because we were always financially stable because my dad, he put in the work. And so how that relates to me nowadays, you know, I try to be the same way. I now have three children. I was married to their mother for some years. We went through a divorce back in 2013. So it's been about about 4 years now that we've been divorced. But I'm very careful with my children now. I would say that's probably one of the main things I concern myself with is being a father now. I feel a little upset at times because I wanted to give my kids that same situation that I had coming up, mom, dad in the household. I was not a fan of no stepdaddy. I didn't even understand what no stepdad was until I got older. I really didn't. I honestly, all I knew was my mom and dad. I didn't know what is a stepdad. What is a stepbrother? Yeah, that's what it was for me. And, you know, even to this day, you know, 32 years old and, you know, being a parent for almost 10 years now, I still have not fully grasped the idea that, you know, if, you know, should my ex-wife decide to move on and do whatever she wants to do, which she is doing, that there's a possibility someone else could play the role of a father figure to my kids. I'm not a fan of it. I'm 32 years old here. I'm just being honest with you.
That's okay.
Just based on my situation, I didn't have that. I didn't understand it. I never wanted to understand it. And now it's like I'm being forced to understand it. And, you know, it's challenging, but, I mean, it's part of life. I mean, one thing you recognize is that you have no control over it, right? I mean,
there's some things you don't. Yeah.
Right. You live it. You try to do it the best way you can, but it doesn't mean that because you're doing it a certain way that it's going to end up the way that you want it. That's one thing. That's the harsh reality that I've had to learn.
Absolutely. So do you think that with your dad, with him working all the time, do you feel like you missed anything that that fathers do with sons? Like, I don't know what dads do with sons. For that matter, I don't know what dads do with daughters either.
Well,
my dad didn't raise me.
Okay. Well, definitely. There are things that I felt like I missed out on. My dad worked all the time and everything, but the times when he was home, I do recall him having me around. I remember very clearly, like, Saturdays, he would be off work. My dad was like kind of a hands-on jack of all trades. He fixed washing machines, garage doors, anything. And me being, you know, 7, 8 years old, however old I was at that time, I wanted to sit around and watch cartoons on Saturday. No, I was up with him. We were fixing someone's heating element on dryers, like I'm stuff that.
So he was doing it outside of the home,
right? Yeah. So I was having to go with him, and that was the time that we got to spend with one another. And you know, back then it's like, man, I'd rather be doing something else. But now that I'm older, I realize and I remember those times specifically because, especially just looking at society now, it's, you know, seeing a father in his kid's life is not the norm anymore. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem that way at least.
You know what?
I mean,
I'm struggling. It's a new struggle for me.
Okay.
And I say that because I think that there are fathers that are in their children's lives.
Okay.
I think that I definitely believe that fathers are, I think everybody in general does the best that they can do. At any given time, whatever that person is doing is the best that they can, the best that they have.
I can agree with that.
But I think for me, one of the things that I recognize is, and I say it all the time, when you have children before you are ready physically, financially, emotionally, when you are not ready to have a kid and you're not married, you create situations. Like with you, you got married. And you guys had three kids. It didn't work out. But I was on a post on a Facebook, and they were saying something about putting a guy on child support or whatever it was. And some little dude, some young Thundercat, as Martin Lawrence called him, on a bad boy, he made the comment about, why would you put those people in, you know, get child support involved, you know, because y'all might, you break up, you might get back together. And I was like, why are you having kids with people you're not married to? You talking about breaking up, going out, fucking around, ended up with another kid potentially, and then you come, you trying to come back. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was dialoguing with me specifically. And I told him, I said, I can't talk to you because I don't understand this.
Right.
I cannot talk to you because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand who actually plans to have children out of wedlock.
I would.
I want one at 50. But I like artificially inseminated like over a year ago. It just didn't take, and I can't find the right sperm.
Okay.
But yeah, I would. But just in terms of being a young person who I could never, even at 50, I could go find some dude and have sex with and get pregnant if I wanted to. Right. I don't want the headache.
Yeah.
I don't want the headache. I don't like your mom and them. I don't want them. They don't like me. I don't want them saying shit about me to my kid, because then I got to kick in the door and tase everybody.
Put your hands on people.
Yeah, and it's just a bad deal. So that was one of the reasons why, and quite honestly, I would have a child, but I want to raise my child the way I want to raise my child. I don't want, if I decide, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to go live in wherever for a year, I'm taking my kid and I'm going. I don't want to have to ask you about it. I don't want to have to talk to you about it, because that may not be important to you, but it may be what my kid needs to do. Right. So I just, in that regard, I would be that person. But generally speaking, I think people are very frivolous.
Yes.
And incredibly careless with their children's lives, with their lives, with the decisions that they make, with the people that they bring in their children's lives. And so for me, I think that black men could be great fathers.
Okay.
I think black men could be great husbands. And it's not to say that they aren't necessarily, but as a group, they're not. Right. Not to say that there are individual people doing it. Right. But yes, collectively, they are not. But I think one of the reasons that they aren't is because they take on that burden before they are ready.
Before they're ready, okay.
And it damages you.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like, okay, well, you know what, you got this kid. And my thinking is, even as a man, if you have a child and you are not going to fool with or take care of your kid, that still bothers you, because you still someplace understand you have a child in the world that you are not seeing about.
Right. It always sticks with you in the back of your mind.
Right. It would have to, I would think. Or you just the hardest, coldest, heartless
most
person on the planet.
Person in the world.
Right. That you don't even care to care for your cub. Mm-hmm. It would be like a lion siring offspring, but just leaves and don't make sure they're safe.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They at least raise them, particularly the boys, they raise them to a certain point. Then they run off. Or the you know, the male lion, they'll wander off to start their own deal. But they still take care of them. So I think that a lot for me with black men, I think that because it's okay to, or it's seen as okay to have children and, you know, be 18, 19, 20 years old and, oh, I'm grown and I'm whatever.
Right.
It creates a problem.
A huge problem.
Because you have to, and it creates a problem on a bunch of different levels. A, you're not, if you're 22 years old and you have a kid, you generally speaking don't have the work experience to go get a job that's going to be able to take care of that kid the way the kid maybe needs to be taken care of, or maybe the way you feel like they should be taken care of. So you choose not to do that. Then you decide to go, you know, you're going to slang a little bit of this, or you're going to try to do whatever. Then you end up in the system. Or let's say you don't. You don't end up, let's say you do it, but you don't end up in the system. And at some point that runs out. Well, then you still can't take care of the kid the way you want to take care of them.
Right.
And you look up later, maybe you just decide that, you know what, this didn't work out with the mom, so I kind of don't want to see the kid. I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little ashamed. You know, whatever right. that is, and you walk away from it's that ego. Child. And then when you come back, when that kid is 18 years old, and you come back, or they come to you, what then do you say?
Right.
Because that was Micah's deal with his dad. He was like, well, I just want to know why. I'm thinking, he may not know why.
Right.
He may not know
might
what
not
to tell you.
Might not have a real answer for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, he may not know what to tell you. My parents divorced when I was 2, and my dad loved my mom, and I know it bothered him that the marriage didn't work out. Mm. And he was hurt by it and probably a bit of a dick behind it. Mm. But he – so he walked away from it. Mm. And then when I was 27 and I met him – I wrote him a letter when I was 21, sent him a picture. He didn't respond to it. Mm. So I didn't know if he got it, but it never came back. So I was like, okay, you know, whatever. So at 27, I met him. Mm. And I drove to Denver from Kansas City. So when I talked to him, well, we were just talking. And it was like I had never been away from my dad. We were that much of the same person.
Right.
But what he did that spoke volumes to me was we were sitting in my car talking, and it was like the first day, within like the first few hours after I'd gotten to Denver, and he said, I got your letter. I didn't know what to say.
Mm.
I didn't need an explanation at that point, because that's what that is. Right. That is simply, I walked away because I was mad, and 1 week turned into 6 months, and 6 months turned into 4 years, and 4 years turned into 10 years. And that's basically what happened. At some point, you were just too embarrassed to come back.
Right.
And then when you come back, is the mother telling you, hey, you know what, we don't need you, we don't care, which my mom didn't. My mother never said anything bad about my father one way or the other. So I was able to, like you said, you didn't know what a stepfather was. It didn't occur to me that I was supposed to have a dad in the house.
Right.
I just figured some kids had them, some kids didn't.
Right.
Just whatever. And the people across the street, okay, two of these two younger girls belong to him, but that older son is hers from another marriage. So I understood the concept, mm. but it never occurred to me to feel like, oh, well, I don't have a dad.
Mm.
Maybe I would have if they had, like, father-daughter dances. I don't remember that happening when I was a kid. You know, that could be a strain for somebody now. It didn't really happen when I was a kid, so not that I'm aware of. So for me, I understood, and I had such a connection with my father that I got when he said, I got your letter, I didn't know what to say. And the fact that he said it, within me being there like 2-3 hours, he said, he brought it up. I didn't have to drag it out of him. I didn't have to go, well, you know, dude, what happened? It didn't matter. Even actually in the second that I saw my dad, I don't know that I was necessarily angry. I think I just wanted to know. But when I saw him, I knew he was my father right away. Mm-hmm. I had never seen a picture of my dad. I knew that was my father. And I was good. So him saying that was extra to me, but I was like, okay, I get it. He's basically saying what he's saying. I didn't know what else. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say.
Right.
You know, what do you say to somebody when you've been gone 25 years?
I don't know what you say.
Right.
It's like, where do you start? I mean, do you start from the very beginning?
Yeah.
Or?
And you have to, one of the guys in the first round table we were talking, and Michael was, one of the guys was saying basically that a child shouldn't have to contact their parent. The parent should be the one to reach out. And I was like, yeah, in a perfect world, but you don't know really how that parent feels.
Right.
You really don't know. And sometimes children do that.
Yeah.
Granted, I was 27, so I wasn't a child, but I was his child.
Right.
So for me to go and to go with no hard feelings, because my thing wasn't I was upset, like, why did you leave me? I didn't really feel like I missed out on, you know, it's not like I didn't. I mean, what I ate every day, I had clothes,
right.
I did stuff. So, okay, I don't understand this. So I wasn't really mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized, and also because people are different, I am a lot like my father. And I realized that it bothered him for his marriage to have failed.
Right.
And I'm sure he realizes he was responsible for it for the most part. And then you have, you know, these kids, and you just didn't do what you needed to do for whatever reason. You
right.
just didn't. So, I kind of got it. I got it, and I was over it. I do also, though, understand how people are mad about it. I do understand how, particularly when you are the child that shares the gender of the parent that is rearing you, I think it may be a little different.
I agree.
You know, because if you, like, I have an older brother, he's in a house with two girls, with me and my mom. His deal's a little different than my deal is, right. You know? I do also, I know for a fact that fathers do certain things with daughters in terms of dating and teaching them what men do or showing them what to expect with men and things of that nature. But I think it really depends on the kid. Because okay. Every person is a different person. But I thought that it was interesting that the guy felt like that the child shouldn't be the one to approach them, that the parent should be the one. And I'm like, if the parent feels badly about it, or if the parent thinks that the kid don't want to see him, or if he thinks the kid doesn't like him, even if the kid is 30, your kid may still want to see you.
True.
And even if they just, if nothing else, if you just see them to say, hey, you know what, I'm sorry. Even if they don't want to talk to you after that, okay, that's fine. Just get the I'm sorry out and right. Let them hold on to that for a little bit and see if something changes. Yeah,
have something to chew on.
Yeah, but it was, I think it's just interesting. I think what black men deal with is unique to a degree. But I think that because a lot of times we are hyper as black men. I said we, but black men are hyper masculine.
Okay.
Which I was talking about, I think last week or so, or a couple weeks ago, they're hyper masculine. So, and I think that derives directly from slavery. So because they are, a lot of things that they do is to prove their manhood.
Right.
You know, there's lots of dudes that just feel like, you know, the more bitches and hoes you have, the more of a man you are.
Right.
That to me is wondrously stupid.
It's incredibly stupid.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I don't know with black men who discusses that with them or to say that that's dumb. You know?
I don't think that conversation is being had. That's just me. That's my honest opinion on it. And it's been that way for a while. It's been that way for a while.
Well, do men see this as a problem?
Well, in terms of what you just said about
swing your mic, Brent. Swing your mic around.
There you go, man. I would just say this in terms of being a black man. I mean, you are kind of in that mindset that, you know, like you said, the more women you have, you know, the more of a man you are. That speaks to manhood as opposed to being a hard worker, being a provider, being a father to your kid, as you mentioned earlier, just being around. Period. It's almost like if you think about it, just on a day to day basis, there's so many different what I like to call crutches for mm-hmm. us as black men that mm-hmm. that we're allowed to get away with. And I'm not trying to disrespect the black man that's out there working hard or the guy that just doesn't know. There are a lot of them, as you mentioned before, yes. They just honestly are not aware of what it takes. And it speaks volumes to what you said, too. No one's out here really, nobody's out here really teaching. There's a lack of fathers in the household to teach young men what's going on. And they're really getting it from themselves. Their TV is teaching them, you know.
My nephew just moved out here with me almost a month ago. And great kid.
Okay.
But he's 18.
Right.
And I can see in him things that are normal that I think that 18-year-olds probably do. But I can see that if he's around, I can tell that he hasn't been around a man that is supposed to do stuff. Am I right, Bren?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I can just tell. Just because there's certain things that I see in him, and it's not necessarily bad things. It's just that I realize that if there were a competent dude around him, then these things wouldn't be happening. Or they would say, okay, no, you don't do X, Y, and Z. And I equate that with there are men that are 27 years old that are doing the same thing. We got a caller. Hang on. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, what's going on? Bravo, I'm downstairs.
You downstairs? Okay, we'll send somebody down to let you in.
Okay.
Do you see the security guy down there or person?
Let me see.
We are live on the air having this conversation.
ain't nobody over there.
Okay, I'll get somebody to come down. Okay. Bren, will you go downstairs and let Go ahead. Yeah. You know where you're going?
Slightly.
It don't matter. You're 13. On the 13th floor. He knows where he's going when he comes back up. You're in 13,400. Thank you. But with my nephew, I can tell that even at 18, for me, I see like 15, 16 years old. Mm. Like I see 14 to 16 in there. But I see, because I can tell that no one has been there to kind of give the structure that he needs. And I look and realize there are things that that he does, some things that I have seen grown men do.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell? And we talk, like, we talk about chicks all the time. Well, not all the time. We talk about women, like, he just got here and he wants to date somebody. I'm like, no. That's that. And so I had to explain to him. I said, when you, as a man, I said, you are a young man. I said, you need a job.
Right.
You need a car. You need your own place. You need some wham. You need some walking around money.
Right.
And then you start worrying about a chick. But prior to that, don't be worried about pussy, because you, this is how dudes get started off having children that they can't afford.
Right.
Because you're in this situation and you feel like, you know, you want to get a girlfriend and you're 18 and hormones are raging. I completely understand that. But I told him, I was like, you better be careful. You better be careful, because if, in fact, you let that get the best of you, you will pay for it for the next 30 years.
For a very long time. Yeah.
And so we talked and had a conversation about having children and how much it costs to have kids. And as I'm having these conversations with him, I'm thinking, because he has a stepfather.
Okay.
And just briefly, his we didn't know about him until he was 5.
Okay.
And then his mother got mad about some shit and hit him till he was 18. So if he had been around his dad, my brother, different story. Again, he's a great kid. I don't have any problems with him. His stepfather, who he's been in the household with, does nothing. Like I would not have been surprised had he said that he didn't have, like, there wasn't a guy in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just certain things that I think happen over time when you spend enough time around someone. When you are, like with me, he's starting to pick up some things that I do or what my expectations are. And he's been here just under a month. So I look and I realize, like he today, he said something about his stepsister wanting a boyfriend, whatever they were saying. He was like, no, she just needs to have a single summer. She needs to have a single summer. Had I been single something, I'd had a lot more hoes. What? What did you just say? And I was like, what is that? I go, I don't understand. I said, why are black men, why do you guys do that to black women? And you call us names and you say all this stuff. I go, you denigrate us on music, wrong with music and blah, 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 blah. And, hey, I'm sorry if we had a rigged up on here.
It's all good.
Switch sides for me. Okay. Bryn, sit here. But I realize in that you have, that's one of those things that you're just not, that wasn't taught.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's, it's imperative, I think, that it has to be taught, but you kind of have to know it. Because, like, maybe, let's say, if he were around a guy and said that, the guy might not have had a problem with
right.
it, you know? Or we were talking, and he goes, no, because I'm going to find a good woman that's going to keep me in line. And I was like, nope, not her job.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong, or the fact that he said it is not necessarily bad or wrong, because he doesn't know. Because at 18, you don't really have a foundation like that. So you're kind of just throwing stuff out to figure out where you fit in. And I was like, no, that's not a woman's job.
Right.
As an adult, you need to do your own thing. And you can't go into it looking like or looking for someone to keep you in line. Because if you're waiting for me to keep you in line, you're going to be out of line and all over the fucking place, because I'm not doing it. Not even close. Mr. Micah, introduce yourself, sir.
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, I'm late. Micah Matthews, everybody call me Bravo. I was here for the first segment. Trying to catch up on what I missed.
We were just talking. I kind of brought him up to speed. He has a show that comes on after mine on the clean side over there.
That wasn't by choice either, just FYI. I wanted to be on this side, but they didn't have any slots.
Oh.
They didn't have any slots. Everything, but we wanted to get the show started. So if I can ever jump over here, then we'll take that show to a whole new level. Right now, we're kind of godly over there, you know. No, not really. We talk about outrageous stuff, but we just can't be as
vocal, you gotta be clean.
We want to be, right.
Oh, I'd be in so much trouble over there.
The music is edited and everything. We get in trouble quite a bit. Don't worry. We slip up.
Oh, God. Yeah, I couldn't do that. Do they? Yeah, I couldn't be over there. I could not be over there.
It's tough.
I had a show talking about stealthing.
I saw and that. I never heard that term until I saw
me,
that.
I saw it on Facebook. But me, the three. The first part of the show was supposed to be about they invented a black app where you can locate. You go online if you have a business. You go online and you locate the business. And or you register your business so that people drive by it. I like to say it's like the Krispy Kreme light. When you get by the business, your app lets you know that they're closed. And so we were talking about that. And I was going to talk about stealthing as the second part. Or, you know, we did like the first 20 minutes or so was going to be about the app or whatever. And so I was like, well, you guys can stay if you want. It's up to you. I don't really care. And they were like, oh, well, you know what? I said, well, I don't really like to have church people on my show. And they were like, well, I go, stick around. You'll see. Oh, my God. It was a slaughter. So it was, and it's really not personal. I just can't, again, I can't have everything running through a Jesus filter, because that's not how I get down. And it's okay if they do, but you just can't keep stopping all the conversations about, well, I wouldn't be having sex with somebody if I wasn't married to them. Okay, really?
That's a lie.
Yeah, it's one.
And even if
lies.
It is the truth, I don't want to deal with that. That's not what we're doing today. So anyway, Michael. Yeah. So anyway, because I can get on that one and go forever. So basically, I was explaining to him, like, he listened to like maybe the first 30 minutes or so of the first show. Okay. But I was explaining to him specifically about you.
Okay.
Because I was telling him that you'd written a book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still in progress. Okay, I was hoping to be done, but the deadline got pushed back, and I didn't make that trip to Atlanta yet.
So I know that's okay. That's what I wanted to know. His dad is in Atlanta.
Okay,
we were talking about that, and I was just telling him basically how I felt like the show was really good for you because you were ready and you weren't really concerned with what people were thinking. Like during the here's the thing that I took away that I noticed in the first show. There was me, and then the table switched now, so now I got to picture this in my head. There was four, five.
Church guy, yeah.
Okay, so we had the guy, he has a show here on Friday night.
Al,
yes. I don't know why, and I talked to him today. I don't know why that doesn't stick in my head. Jesus Christ.
You don't like church people.
No, he's not a church person.
It was him and then the church.
Yeah, he was standing in the corner. He came in a little late, so he was in the corner. And then this dude that was sitting here was a guy who was, I don't even know if he was a church dude, but he was married with two daughters. He was the one whose mother had like the dominant personality in the household. Then Michael was here. Victor was there. And then the pastor dude was sitting next to me. But I waited until everybody got in the room before I said, okay, you can't use religion as a crutch. Yeah, so I was like, whoops, I didn't know you were a pastor, sorry. But I didn't. But everybody's thing was a little bit different because Al got it. He and I were kind of on the same page. And he was like, well, no. You know, he was telling me how he's had kids. He's been locked up. He's got grandkids. And how he interacts with his children and grandchildren. When his grandkids need to get picked up from school, he gets them. He recognizes where he needs to be as a man, as a father, grandfather, what have you. And then Victor is unbeknownst to me. We're friends on Facebook because we have mutual friends. But Victor is like this huge author, and I didn't know. I had no idea. Yeah. And so to me, like I was talking to him today, and you know, he's like, "Oh, I haven't seen you. We got to go to Starbucks. So to me, it's just Victor to me. Mm-hmm. Somebody else commented, and they were like, "Well, you know, he's written a lot." I said, "Yeah, I saw that he's written like 12 books or something like that." Yeah. They were talking. I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know him like that. But Victor's deal was different because his mother had him when she was young, and they kind of grew up together. So he kind of realized out of his situation, okay, well, I want to be, you know, a father, husband, blah, blah, blah. When he decided to do those things, that's what he did. The pastor dude was more so, that's the one that was saying that, oh, you know, a child shouldn't have to go to the parent. The parent should come to the child. And I was like, oh, that may not always be the case. this dude was like, I think he kind of struggled with the premise of the show, because I think he wanted more structure than I was willing to give, but I purposely didn't give it. But Micah was my superstar because he was the one who acknowledged the damage of not having his father around and saying, you know, he excelled in sports, he did this, he did that, and he wanted his dad's acceptance. And he was basically getting ready to go have that conversation with his dad, mm-hmm. to, you know, talk about, you know, why, you know, what happened, what's the deal. He's basically ready. He's at that place where he's ready to get to it and kind of move past it. And his was, yours to me was the most raw. Yours to me was the most open, the most vulnerable, the most, it was what I wanted it to be. Specifically, that was what I wanted it to be. And everybody else got something different out of it. I wanted everybody to get whatever it was that they needed. But I particularly liked yours because you were just talking about how you basically were working through it, yeah. and how you deal with your friends and, you know, when this, that, or the other is going on with your friends and what you guys say and, you know, if this happens, how you're perceived to be gay if you do this or soft or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That's what I liked most with yours. And I wanted to follow up, basically. Really, I wanted to know if you talked to your dad, but I wanted to ask you. Man, you know, I saw you in the grocery store, and I started to, and I was like, okay, not the place.
I know, and I was like, man, it would have been perfect timing, because I was like work picked up so heavy with my clients, and it won't even lie, I'll be honest, was a little timid about it, because it got so close. Like, April hit, and I was like, damn, I got to fly to Atlanta. So as I'm getting through the book, and then grandfather got sick, so I was like, okay. I kind of used that as an excuse to kind of like procrastinate, but I made another deadline to get it done before August, though. So I should be completely done, because I really want to get it out the way, because he's actually sick at the moment now. So I was like, I want to.
Who, your dad?
Yeah. So
you better get there.
Man, yeah, so I'm going to go out there.
You can reach me by railway.
So I'm going to get it going.
You can reach me by railway.
I'm gonna get out there. But another thing I took away from all right, I took away from the last show, because I actually listened to it again, because I didn't want to listen to it.
I don't,
because I was like, oh, I never listened
to those. I never listened to them.
Because a lot of my friends heard it, and
what they think.
So a lot of ladies that I know heard it, and so it was like, I never knew that. They're like, they found out some more stuff about me. It kind of went into them going, trying to get more out of me, but I wasn't giving it up. But because I'm already kind of private, but at that moment I was like, no, I'm willing to kind of like be exposed to it, because I know there's a lot of brothers that feel the same way I do. And absolutely. So ever since then, I started mentoring little boys.
Good.
And so, but what I found, they got some kids that it's even deeper than that, only because it's like, I have one kid, he's in school. He hit his mom's because, like, so I talked to him. He was like, he didn't mean to.
How old is he?
He's 13.
Okay.
And so he was like, he's dealing with bullying. Girls not liking him. Kids tease him because he's an overweight kid. But he's just stocky. But see, he don't even know his own power, because, like, not having a father around. So whenever he sees me, he, like, get real attached to me. But not having his father around, it's like, I could tell how that's affecting him in school. Mm. Like, speaking up to people, like, shying away, not, like, expressing himself.
Having somebody, basically, when you do those things, exactly. to give you the confidence.
Exactly. So it's, like, real. Like,
hit that phone and knock it out of his hand.
Oh,
So, I hate that phone. I tell him like probably twice a week that I hate millennials.
Hey, that's another thing. Ever since, you know, I gave up drinking for this year, so that's another thing. I got to the point where, like, I don't keep my phone on me as often, because I actually lost it for a month. And so I said, no, I'm not going to rush to get a phone. So I was like basically without a cellular device, and it opened my eyes up, because it was like, I see how much that we as men do not communicate.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, we don't.
Well, and that's what I told my nephew. He moved here from Fresno. And part of that is, and I do hate millennials, but I don't hate you. Sometimes I dislike you. Sometimes. Because that phone, you guys are retarded. So he's here, but I'm like, you got to pay attention, because, A, you're in a city that's probably 5 or 6 times larger than where you came from. You've got to pay attention. But he has to contend with being homesick and missing his friends. and you're 18 and you're in this huge city, and it's probably a little intimidating. So we're kind of starting off small, but somebody to tell him like certain things that he does. I go, okay, whoa. What is that? Let's stop doing that. But it's behavior that's probably normal behavior for some children, right. But it has to be brought to their attention.
Yeah.
And if as a parent, if you're a mom and you don't see that, then because for me, I look at when I have to deal with children or young people, part of parenting I think something maybe that people don't always think about is when you're parenting, you look at your kid and you see certain things that they do and you make the assessment, is this something that's good for them mm-hmm. in the long run? Is this something that's going to, how is this going to be perceived if they are doing this? You know, they're doing it at 8. Is this going to be cool at 18? Is it, yeah. You know what I mean? So I think as when you're parenting, if you don't have, well, for me as a parent, my nephew will tell you, I am on it. I am on it. We are locked and loaded. But I look and say, okay, well, yeah, this is a good thing. But, okay, if you're doing this, then this is what this turns into. Or this is how this is perceived. Because at 18, he's a big kid.
No.
But he's,
I thought that was a grown man. I thought that boy was like 25.
No, you want to train him?
Man,
you want to train him?
I take him. Hey, we get him out there.
Let's go. Because he's going to be fine. Oh, my God.
Get him right. He's going to be number trouble in
daddy's right. But we didn't talk about this. Yeah. So basically, one of the things that I think a lot of times people maybe don't see as parents is certain things you need to get out of children.
Yeah.
What they do well, you feed that and you, okay, that's great. The things that they do that you see could be a problem later, then you need to pull that out of them and go, okay, well, no, you probably shouldn't do that because, you know, X, Y, and Z, and explain why to them, which speaks to the young man you're talking about.
Yeah.
He feels self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I think that black boys learn or black children will learn, but particularly boys, as I was saying, when you're the same gender as the parent, as boys, they recognize that they don't have fathers around.
Oh, yeah, they recognize real fast.
Yeah
they know that fast. They don't. And I think a lot of times they internalize that. Mm-hmm. So I think as adults, it's hard. Like, I can do it with my nephew because he's my nephew.
No.
For a lot of other boys, I can't do that with because, first of all, they got raging hormones and they want to screw me or they come up trying to mack to me.
Exactly.
So as a woman, I can't be in that situation with young men.
Exactly.
Other men have to do that.
Exactly.
And I don't know that enough guys get it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To know that it has to be done. And it can be something as simple as, like, not even full-on mentoring. Maybe you just see this kid.
No, you don't have to be,
and talk to him.
Like, a full-on mentor. Because I know I'm doing a kidpreneur camp. I'm doing fitness from ages 6 all the way to 15 right now, every Friday for an hour. So what I found out, the kids, when you think about boys, what do they see most of the time when they grow up? Women. They have women in the household, women teachers. Everywhere is women, you know. So when they have a woman that comes into, like, these programs, these after-school programs or something, it's like, okay, I'm used to a woman being around. But they never seen that male figure to be, like, dominant on them
exactly.
and, like, really tell them what to do.
Exactly.
And so if you're even there just for an hour once a week, like, those kids gravitated to me so fast and was like, whatever I said went.
Right.
Like, everything I came out, it couldn't even be wrong. If I say, hey, if you want muscles, this is what you do. If you want to have a good life, you need to go to school, they're like, I'm with it.
Right.
I say, hey, I want you to read this book, they're like, okay, what book? So, like, even if they didn't read, because I'll find out Friday, but it's like they were more attentive and, like, more responsive to, like, me being there. And they had all women there.
Right.
They wouldn't even listen to them women when I got there.
Because it's something that they generally speak it, that they don't have.
Exactly. And so when I realized that, I knew it was way bigger because, like, when I was growing up, like I said, I had my grandfather and my uncles growing up, but they was players. So I grew up to be like, hey, you got to get the women.
Yeah, you know?
But as I got older, it's like learning for myself, like, it's not always like that if you want to be a man. And I'm more open and I don't really care about the opinion of other people no more.
Right.
Like, so if I see kids, hey, man, put your pants up. I always tell them, man, you don't want no wind going in your booty.
Right.
Put your pants up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like I don't really – not afraid of, like, the reaction of other people. Or, like, people may say, man, you've been soft. You've been too soft on them or something like that. Because I know the kids don't really want that hardness because a lot of mothers already put that softness on them.
Right.
Because they can't do no wrong in school. The mothers get upset with the teachers before they even before check they, the child.
Yeah, exactly.
So the child feel like, okay, my mom gonna get me out of this, so I'm gonna just act up anyway. She gonna believe me over the teacher. So when they go out there and their mom can't save them, when a cop has them, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, mom, what you, you know, where you at? So like now you have this clutch on you. She's like, man, I always thought I'd be saved, but now you out in this real world,
right.
it ain't gonna be the same. So that's why I've been coming across with all of the teenage boys I've been dealing with, because they always have a mother that's there that's like, you can't do no wrong.
Right.
So, you know.
It's true.
So do you where is this happening? Let me ask that.
Is that Richardson? It's like East Dallas, off of. I'm gonna have them off 635. I actually have the app on my phone. The flyer. I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Let me do that.
Send it to me, and I'll put it on my page.
Yeah. So I have the, like they from ages of six.
That's probably Richardson Garland.
Yeah, the one off like if you know going down 635 off of you exit Miller.
Okay.
So yeah.
If you take the exit, yeah,
Garland.
That's where the warehouse Garland. Is. That's why I had them left. But this Friday is going to be sunny. I'm gonna have them at the field at the school on right on 635. But it's like in Dallas right there. Mm-hmm. Instead of going right on 635, you go left. So this one's the in Dallas. But I have the address in there, and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
So yeah. So just trying to get.
So how many kids are there? How many?
Man, I had 17 kids Friday. I ain't gonna lie, them kids wore me out.
I guarantee you. I bet you end up with 25.
Probably so, but what I realized, like, the kids, they enjoy it. You know, they need to get that energy out of the middle because a lot of kids go home and just sit down and play video games. So I look at kids like elephants. If you look at elephants, they're not fully grown. Like, you have the young bulls that's out there just aggressive, just knocking stuff over, chasing tourists mm-hmm. and all that. So they don't, until they become fully mature, like, they're just aggressive. That's how I look at young boys because mm-hmm. they're just aggressive till they hit 25.
Look, right. Unfortunately, that's how the law looks at them
exactly.
too.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. So, true. You know, they just have all this energy they need to get out. And so if they don't put it out either through sports mm-hmm. or like some type of extracurricular activity, it's like they just sitting here angry. And they already got so much anger built up, whether it's not having a father there. Even if you have a father, but he's absent as like being in your life.
Yeah, he's not doing
that. I know plenty of fathers out there that's there at the house. But they're not in the kids'
they're
lives,
not there.
You know? So, like, yeah, kids be like, hey, Pops, you know, want to go outside? It's like, nah. You know, you got more Pops playing video games now.
And then, you know, right, so, the gamer age.
Yeah, so.
The gamer, which I confess.
I gave that game, them games up.
Yeah, same here.
I own original Nintendo.
For real.
I played that's Duck crazy. Hunt and Super Mario Duck Brothers.
Hunt. I played Duck Hunt, man, since I was like 12.
Yep, I have a Wii, too, but that Wii, I do the workout stuff on the Wii.
Okay.
The
I just had to get away from those games, man. It like it's controlling. It's like mind controlling me.
Well, I don't sit there forever now. Man. I haven't touched my Wii probably in a year.
They can hold you hostage.
Yeah, they can, man. NCAA.
Yeah, I don't care that much.
NCAA when Robert Griffin was on the cover. Yeah. Bro, I used to go home. My girl would be right there when I had a girlfriend. I'm single now. But I went, man, I would just be like sitting there.
Just so everybody knows.
I'd be sitting there playing the video game. And like literally 6 hours would pass by. And I'd be like,
you don't even know.
Don't even know it.
Yeah.
Like just playing on that season mode. You just like, oh, next game, I got to get to the championship.
Yeah.
You be there all day zoned out, and she's totally
see,
I can't believe you.
I can't do that because I can't play. Charge. I can't play those games. Like, I have a Madden for the Wii, but I don't know how to work the controller, so I don't care. I can throw the ball, but I don't know that I can necessarily care. I can't do it, and I don't care enough to learn how to do it.
It's so much artificial intelligence on it now that you actually like acting as the real player. It's not, you're not even controlling the game. It's like, if you're going to be playing a running back, they pick the play. You execute as a running back. Like that's
you physically are. Move. Is that what
just
you're saying?
A running back. Like, no, not your body. Like,
oh, okay, because I'm like, games. That I can do.
Yeah. Oh, no, not
if that. I got to do all that finger activity. Yeah. Okay, because I can't do the finger.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's when I'll get it.
Taking over,
so. I'll get that when I can actually physically do the run. And that when I can do that, then I can play it. But if you're asking me to do this with my thumbs and tick the stuff on top of the thing, I'm going to get tackled in the backfield every goddamn time.
Once they get you into that VR, that virtual reality, that's really going to have you trapped then. Because watch, you're going to be in there, I'm running, exercising all day, mm-hmm. all day.
Then you and again. I probably won't because I actually like to be outside. I actually like to do things. No. So I probably wouldn't. But I have friends that are gamers that play. I have they're my people on Facebook, but they game as a couple. They
if
game
they're
together.
Broke. You should ask them, how much time are you putting into that game?
Oh, they're not broke. They both work. No. They work and got a couple kids and a house, and they do stuff. But I like I said, I haven't touched my Wii in a year, so.
Yeah, I just find them as distractions, especially for the youth. I hate
absolutely
kids that play games.
Absolutely, because I grew up in an era where you went outside to play, mm-hmm. and you just did. You get up at whatever point, and your mother would be like, "Get out of here, go somewhere," and you just be gone all exactly. day.
They losing their social skills as well. They don't even know how to socialize with each other. It's like you have, hey, they both like sports, and they just sit there, you know, and just look at each other.
Yeah, I don't. I really think that I was saying that I think that black men have a unique experience in American culture, probably in the world, but definitely in America. But I think it's unique to a degree, because I think that black women go through the same things. In addition to, we get black dudes that is like, "Hey, bitch, play home," you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but I think that, as I said on the first show, if you fix what's wrong with black men, you can fix 80% of what's going on with black people.
Yeah,
if you can get black men to sit together and talk to each other,
yeah,
because you guys don't talk, it's not I think every time, for the most part, when black men get together, unless they're at church, I think that
that's funny.
I think that other than being at church, a lot of times black men compete against each other.
No.
When they don't have to. Even when you're in a situation where you can just kind of sit back and everybody get along and everybody be cool, I think that they will still compete. I think the difference in church is, first of all, I think church is a male-dominated monopoly on religion, because most pastors are going to be men. You know, the people that are making the decisions in the church, they're going to be the dudes that are in the church. And I think it's a hustle. Let's just say it. I think it's a hustle, and I think it's a hustle that is basically funded by women, because black women go to church.
Lying. They being that deep too.
Yeah, it's a hustle run by men that is funded by women.
Yeah.
And I don't fool with it. I ain't got time for that. Because
I do believe you're on a competing thing, because we went out Sunday to TNT. Me and my buddy, he just moved to Dallas. And so his frat brother was guarding the door. And so
what the hell is TNT, and why are they guarding the door? Who's coming in?
It became to the point now they got to have security, because they had a fight there
a couple
weeks ago. So,
okay, I got you.
Yeah, so now the whole dynamic didn't change. And so so I went, and like I had a tank top on. Now, I know I work out, so I'm like,
clearly,
I just be like, okay, cool, we just going. But if people know me, I'm a cool dude. But so he was like, when we was coming in, he was like, "Nah, your mans can't come in." I was like, "But why?" He was like, "He got a tank top on." They had three other guys in here with a tank top on, but they were smaller than
that. Did their arms look like your arms?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
So somebody ended up getting me in. So I went upstairs. So I was like, he let my boy go up first. He's like, "Nah, you got to wait in line." I'm like, "For what, bro?" Like, it's like he was just, any way he could feel like he could dominate
the same
me.
Dude?
Yeah. Any way he could like have like some type of rule over like my decisions. I was like, bro, it's not even like that. But one thing I realized, whenever you out and you see black men between the ages of 21 and 28, if you ever see them in a club, they always look at each other. Because it's like the whole mindset that's going through their head, "I don't know them niggas."
Right.
That's how it is. "I don't know them niggas."
Spot on.
Like, you know, so already, you already thinking like, if we got a problem, because I see they got 2-3 people, we got 2-3-4 people. You already thinking like, if it pop off, we good. So we just got to watch out for which one in the crowd that we got to watch. Because I used to think like that. You know, I'll be like, "Shit, all right, 5 of them, we good though. It's 4 of us. I can take
about
12.
I would like to get to be someplace and get, say, 50 black men to sit and maybe break up into groups and do some type of, I don't know how that would work out, but just to get them in there to talk about things like that. Because until black men stop being afraid of other black men, or stop assuming that other black men are X, you're always going to have a problem.
Yeah, and that's true.
It's always gonna be that's a problem.
True. Very true.
That, what I do now is I always see, like, if I seen a brother, I'm like, "What's up, Dow?"
Yeah.
And I'll be like, "Now I might dab my like, what's up, Dow?" Just give him a pound, because I already know, for one, when people look at me, I've been told I look real aggressive, especially since I kept my hair.
You look like Mr. T now.
Well, yeah, that's what people tell me. So, but no lie, what happened? It's just like an ice breaking out. So, dudes, guys don't even like treat me the same way, because when they know I'm seeing me, they'll just look at me with like a mug or something. I'm like, "What's good?" Like, and I would have a mug because you're looking at me like you got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'll be like, "What's up?" So I good, I cool. But now it's like they be like, "Cool cut, bro." And I'd be like, "What's up, son?" Dap them up. I don't even know these guys. But it makes a breaks the ice, for it's like, okay, now we don't have this aggression towards each other. Maybe it's because I'm hanging out in different spots now, but I haven't had that type of aggression towards brothers like lately. That I don't know. Because now, right, I just see them like, "Man, what's good, bro?" Like, acknowledge them, because if you don't, it's like they could be
but
watching.
You know
from
what?
Right.
That has to be an incredibly stressful existence.
Yeah, it can because, like, most of the time you see a lot of women in a spot, and you see the guys looking at each other more than they looking at the women.
Yeah.
Because you, like, in their minds,
the
they're
truth.
Already thinking like,
it's something's
gonna
happen.
One of these
dudes don't, because if you see, you always know you got the Chihuahua guy. Little man syndrome.
Right,
always in
right,
the corner.
Right.
He's always the one that's popping off. And
yeah,
that's the guy that I always say, that's the one you got to shut up. If you can get to that guy to calm him down, everybody have a good night. Because that's the guy that's always looking out, "I'm going to take this guy, girl. I'm going to take his girl." Because why? He wants confrontation.
He wants to prove, yeah.
Because he has somebody about my size or larger, like, in the back, like, no, they're going to go to bat for him. So when you have a mindset like that, it's like, well, hell, I can do what I want. Nothing going to happen to me because I'm not by myself.
I think you guys need to get in a room, too. And just talk.
It's cool, but like, I can tell you right now, unless a man comes out, because you're always going to have that dominant male, the alpha male that's going to, and it'll be a few of them that might butt heads. But so they're all going to be like, "I'm going to take command of the situation in the group," whatever group he split up into. So that's going to be like trying to lead it.
You know what? That happens with women.
That is true. That's true.
It's the exact same way with women. And you either get, somebody posted on Facebook asking about why would a man... Or he heard a woman refer to herself as an alpha female, and why would a man want to be with an alpha female? And the first thing is, I think that's a fucking stupid ass question.
Yeah, it is.
Because you can have an alpha anything. If you have a group of birds, there is an alpha in that group of birds.
Exactly.
Cats, the exact same thing. Even if the alpha lays back and lets shit happen the way it's going to happen, and then once they feel like they need to get up and handle some stuff, then they do. You always will. So I kind of thought it was stupid that they don't realize that there are alpha females. And then I also think that it's kind of dumb that you keep referencing, like, what man or woman not having a man. Who cares?
Exactly.
I will say again, you all are not near as much fun as you fucking think you are. Not near as much fun.
Hey, it's that whole thing about entitlement that we talked about last time.
Yes.
Because you have so many sisters compared to a small amount of guys. And we think about it, okay, if you educated, you work out, you have some confidence, you know how to communicate with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You
the basics.
You kind of put it at the top of the totem pole.
Absolutely.
So once you have that, I've been like observing like guys all the time. So I'll sit back and see how guys approach women. And it'd be slick. So it's like, you know what guys know that, what position they hold.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're way more confident. Because in Dallas, I see a lot of guys just sit back and wait
till
a woman come to them. But you see these brothers out here, man, you know what guys know they have it. Like, dudes probably don't have the most money or nothing, but they know that they sit at a higher top because, like, they come up to a woman like, "I already know shit that they outnumber us." So if I choose her, she already going to be like, okay, cool. Because if I'm handsome, I already know she's going to be like, okay, I'm cool. I'll entertain them for a minute. Because you ain't got no brothers coming up to you on a regular basis.
I may be entertaining you, but it's because you're entertaining me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm laughing at something that you're doing. I'm ready to post something on Facebook. I'm going to call my girlfriend and be like, "You will not believe it." Let me tell you what I did one time, and I ain't even going to say it. I went out with this guy, and I just went out because I was out at a club, and he was talking to me. Not necessarily a bad-looking dude, but I thought it was really funny because he kept walking by looking at me, so I was like, "Are you going to ask me to dance, or are you just going to keep staring at me? I don't really care. I don't want your phone number or nothing. I just want to dance. That way I have a dance partner all night." So he keeps going on, he's talking, and yes, because I'm that chick. And so he was like, "Hey, you know what? We should go to go get something to eat and something. And he said something. Well, yeah, you can just ride in my car. Nope. You're going to have to work harder than that if you're going to kill me, sir. I'm not getting in your car. We went to, I think, the Olive Garden. I promise you, I pulled a rotten-ass dude move, and I put my cell phone on the table. I called my girlfriend, put her on speakerphone, and told her to mute her phone and put the phone on the table so she could hear everything that was being said. It was horrible. Savage. It was terrible. I know, but it was funny. And I was, then he was talking to me, and he was like, yeah, I got a daughter. She's 16. Matter of fact, I don't even know if it's the same dude because they all run together at some point. But he had a daughter, and he was like, yeah, different dude, I think. But I was at home, and it was a Sunday. I was on the couch watching football. And he called me. He was like, oh, what are you doing? I said, hey, I watch football on Sundays, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we over here grilling. We having steaks, and my daughter's, her boyfriend is coming. I'm not coming over there. One, because I said I'm watching fucking football. And you heard me. Say I'm watching football, and if you were a dude and you said you were watching football, you wouldn't expect me.
Exactly.
So I'm not coming for that reason right there. But then he says, yeah, my daughter and her boyfriend's coming over, and yeah, I don't care to meet your family.
Yeah.
I ain't that chick. I ain't trying to get involved. I don't want no stepkids. I don't want to deal with your daughter and her boyfriend. I don't eat steak either. So I'm going to stay home on the couch.
You good.
Right. But it's... Yeah, and basically what I'm saying is men feel like when it's just the basics that they should be good. I'm not that chick. I'm not interested in that. Yeah. And I had somebody tell me that too at one point. And on paper, a great dude to date on paper.
Yeah.
Not a bad person, but his attitude was, I'm it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. We're going to let this ride about a month.
Yeah, after the month? He don't feel like you have to work. He don't have to feel like you have to work if, like, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. He can feel like whatever he want to feel like. You know what chick I am? I'm going to go ahead and give you a month's time. And so when I go ahead and lower the boom, you can go, oh, well, I didn't know. No, you had a month.
Yeah.
You had a month. And solid month. If I'm 50 and you old enough for me to date.
Yeah.
You know better than this bullshit.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and play this game for a minute and see what you got. So then when I lowered the boom and go, yeah, this ain't really working out for me. It's like, well, I wasn't really thinking about that. So you know what? I know the nature of men. If you cared, you'd have been thinking like that.
Exactly.
You don't care. And it's okay that you don't care. It's also okay that I'm not going to hang around with your ass not caring.
Exactly.
Go not care about somebody else.
I hate to say it, but brothers will waste your time right now.
Yeah. You ain't wasting shit of mine.
Like, brothers will waste your time
right now. Right. But here's a funny thing. And I want to skydive. I keep saying I'm going to go do it. I hadn't done it yet. And he was like, so you ain't going to just keep your feet on the ground? Listen, boring. Because I asked him if he wanted to go. And he was like, well, no. Okay, well, you don't have to. You don't have to. I promise I don't need you to skydive. I swear to God, I went to Europe by myself.
Yeah.
I don't care if you don't want to skydive. I'm not that chick. I can't even say I'm beyond that.
Yeah.
I've never been that chick. I've never cared anything. Whatever that thing is in me that makes me, it is strong.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck if you don't ever want to do shit with me. And afterwards, which was really funny, and I told him this, that it's been a couple years, and it was when it rained a lot in May 2 years ago. And I remember it specifically because they said on the news it rained enough in 1 week in Dallas to cover the state of Connecticut, I think, in 10 feet of water. 1 week. That's a lot of rain.
Yeah.
I didn't have my car. I was taking a train to work. You got two vehicles, at least two, probably three. But I'm not driving. Okay.
All right.
Okay, we good.
With that, all right.
Yeah. And I never said anything. Never said a word.
Never
offered
a vehicle over.
Right,
huh?
Right.
Damn. Never looked
so out. What I did was when I was done with the situation, I was like, listen, I said, this is how I know you don't care. And it's okay that you don't care. But don't expect me to stay in a situation with somebody that I know doesn't care. No. Also, don't expect me to try to make you care. I don't give a fuck if you don't.
Yeah.
Bye.
But that's a lot. When guys run into women like that, they're quick to change, too.
Yeah, but you know what the deal is with me? Because this is what he was like, well, I wasn't really thinking like that. I go, well, you should have been. And that tells me that you don't care. Because if you really did care, if you thought I was different, if you realized I was different, you would have been different.
Yeah, true.
So, and what I told him is I said, you can't fix this now because you've already shown me who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested. He goes, well, you don't give second chances. I go, that depends on what you did with the first one.
Yeah.
You fucked it off. What am I giving you a second chance for?
Exactly.
That means you fucked off the first chance and you still winning because you get me on the back end. Nope, yeah. You lose. And yeah, he said right. In a conversation, he said after like months later, he was like, "Why? Well, you know, I felt like I was the prize."
Damn,
oh, man.
Right?
Yeah. Damn.
And his behavior said that, and I've known him for years. I've known him like casually for years. His behavior said that. And then he went ahead and I was like, I'm not surprised. Everything that you did said that.
Yeah.
Everything. And he's a good dude in the sense that, you know, he's the guy that he understands, you know, he's going to unlock car doors for you. If you with him, you ain't never going to pay for anything. You're going to this. He's a good dude in that regard, like I said, on paper.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But because he is accustomed to people, okay, well, this is his career. He's, you know, retired from the military. He has a nice house. He has this. Women want to compete for that. Yeah. I'm not interested in it. I don't care.
No.
I don't care. I got my own stuff. I don't worry about it. But when we had that conversation, I told him, I said, you messed up because you expected me to be those other chicks. And you've known me long enough to know that I'm not that way. But he thought I was kidding. And men always, they think I'm kidding. They think this is a facade. I'm like, no, it's really not. I swear to God, I'm really like this.
Awakening then.
Right. If you're good, then I'm good. But if you're going to play that game of, oh, okay, well, like, I should be chasing you. And he got mad because I said, well, maybe you need to go find a 40-year-old grandmother in South Dallas that'll smother a pork chop for you.
Oh, man. Damn.
Right. And he was like, what makes you think I know somebody like that? Well, you damn sure don't know nobody like me acting the way you acted. But I knew, you know, going into that, I also find another one thing that men do is they treat all women the same. They act like everybody's 20.
Yeah, that's true too.
They act like women are all 20 years old with their approach. They act like every woman that's 20 and I'm fucking 50, dude. I'm not interested in a boyfriend. I don't have to have that.
Right.
But that's the approach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you guys' game is so fucking anemic. And I've known this at 50. Right. At 50, I started to figure this out at probably about 22, 23 years old. So by the time I was 30, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Like 28 to 30. And I thought, I was like, just randomly thinking, I'm like, who the fuck teaches these dudes this stuff?
Man,
and
it's on
recycle.
It's on repeat.
Yes. I told somebody, I said, they have the same playbook and it has the same five plays in it. The same five plays in it. And I knew the five plays by the time I was like 25 or 26. And I was like, oh, my God, you all are boring.
Nobody upgraded their playbook.
Yeah,
Because you can upgrade it. Here's the thing, though. If you want to upgrade it, if you want to do or be different, the only thing that you can do is be better.
Right.
They don't want to be better because better requires work.
That's true, too.
Better means if you are a husband that you need to come home from work and do the dishes, even though you've been at work all day, she's been at work all day, everybody been at work, but she comes home, does the dishes, cooks, blah, 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 blah. You go sit wherever you're going to sit, and then you come when it's time to eat. Better means you need to come in and help with the dishes or cook dinner. Better means you have to give baths. Better means you have to help with homework. Better means you have to do those things, and they don't want to do those things. That's why it's the same playbook.
Yeah, that's true. And I do believe I have a buddy of mine. He's married, and he does go home. He's like, man, you know what? I can't stay out late. Going home, take care of, you know, some stuff for my girl, or like for wifey. And I commend him on that because a lot of brothers don't go that extra mile when it comes to.
They sure won't say it.
Oh no, they won't because you still got the mentality. I got to be tough. You still got to be a man because if you've seen as soft, because you got a lot of women who will run over a dude quick, you know. So. No, all women ain't just nice and friendly.
Right, but that's that concept of what they think manhood is, and their concept is hyper-masculinity, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, and I don't understand that because I will tell people, if I date you, I don't fight with people that I date.
No, I don't.
I'm not arguing. There's no reason to.
Yeah, no point
in
arguing.
What you want to do this, I want to do that. Are we compromising? Or the compromise may be you go and do that and I'll go and do this and then we'll meet back at the house or something. You know what I mean?
That's true too.
I think when there's a lot of arguing, it's because somebody is trying to impose their will on the other person.
Exactly.
And the other person is resisting it.
Yeah.
Who argues like that?
It's ridiculous.
And I do understand there are women who feel like, oh, well, if a dude is X way, then, oh, he's a punk or he's soft or he's square. To me, as a man, when you come across that woman, that's your indicator to leave her alone.
Yep. When you, every woman that likes to argue because they grew up in an argumentative household, that when I find that out, I'm like, you know what? This ain't going to work. I don't care how fine you are. Because I already know what's about to happen. You're going to want to argue with me. If I don't give you the attention that you want, you will have an argument just to get some type of attention. And that's a headache right there.
I was explaining to my nephew that you have to determine the type of woman that you want. And well, at his age, you just, if you're going to date, you just date. I don't think you need to date seriously.
No, I don't do
at
it.
At 18. I'm gonna tell you, I don't think you need to date exclusively at 18. And I said, as a dude, as a man, when you go into the situation, you need to say and start saying it now at 18, hey, I'm not trying to date exclusively. I'm seeing other people. You can see other people. Or I'm not seeing anybody else right now. But if I meet somebody, yeah, you know, I'll hang out with them too. I just want to make sure you understand so you are not wasting that woman's time.
Exactly.
But because beyond, I just, when you look at people, when you look at situations, like you said, if you know that a woman comes out of a household where there's a lot of drama, Tupac said, addicted to drama. So even mama couldn't raise you. Some people are that way. I need peace because I am that alpha chick when I am out in the world and I'm having to do the things that I do to make shit happen. When I come home, I'm not fighting with you.
Exactly.
I'm not fighting with you. I need peace. I cannot have that emotional drain in my life.
And it's draining.
Yeah. Or deal with dudes who start a fight because they want to go hang out. Who the fuck does that?
Imagine say you want to go hang out.
Right. Bye.
Exactly. But I'm going to tell you something straight up, man. Don't get serious right now. I'm going to tell you why. Because I know too many people. See, you already did it.
He's not allowed. Yeah. He's not allowed.
Get married young. What happens? Everybody I know that was married before the age of 21 was divorced by 25.
I have a cousin. She and her husband got married at 18. Did not. They're still married. Didn't have kids until they were 31. They have a set of twins. And they were born in 74. So what does that make them?
That make them
84, 94, 2004. So she's 40, close. Yeah, so I mean, in the area of 40. But they, those are the only people. And one of my aunts. But
yeah, that was a different time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
see, when you talk about growing up in after 85, like 80 yes. babies, like yes. 90s. Nah, man, that ain't happening.
Yeah, they were born in 74, and they got married when they graduated from high school. Still married. And, you know, do well, but they had sense enough to not get married and have kids right on top of it.
That's the wrong route to take. Because, like right now, honestly, bro, you don't even know who you are right now. Because, man, when you turn 25, your whole life going to change. Like, you're going to see what you're willing to put up with, what you're not willing to put up with, what you're going to tolerate with somebody, like, in your face, especially women. Like, you're going to see the type of women you want to be, whether they big, small, large, thick, fine, don't even matter. Once you get it, like, you're going to change a whole lot. Man, by the time you get 28, 29, 30, you're going to be like, all right, this is what I want. You'll know. Because, like I said about an elephant, you're still going to be a young bull out there. Bro, just go get it out your system. Don't even say
that. But
right
that
now.
Goes, that's that thing where I tell people that what you like at 5, you're not going to like at 10. Nope. What you like at 10, you're not going to like at 15. What you like at 15, you're not going to like at 20. Mm-hmm. What you like at 20, you're not going to like at 25. And once you get to 25 and 30, you'll start to kind of see patterns in behavior.
Yeah.
You'll start to realize, okay, you know what? Yeah, I kind of like this, or this is kind of what I do, or I don't. But when you make forever decisions with temporary people,
you're
stuck.
You're stuck.
And people don't care, because then you look later, you have a kid at 21 years old, 19 years old, and then at 30 you meet somebody and you're like, oh, she is the one. But then she's looking at your kid and your baby mama, and she don't want to be bothered with
it. Exactly. She's like, I ain't trying to have it. Like, I'm blessed and lucky to say I made it to 30 with no kids. So, you know, I know right now, like,
look, I doubt that's luck.
Just keeping it right.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a concerted effort. Yeah.
So you got to make sure, like now I know the type of woman I'm into, like the type of woman I want. I like a woman that pushes me to, like, be more, be better. So, like, a lot of women that I've dated, like, I dated a girl, like, a few months ago. Like, she told me she was cool with being average. I couldn't date her no more. Because anybody that's cool with being average is not trying to better themselves. I know it's not right for me.
She's with being average.
Yeah, she said she wanted to be regular schmegler. Those are her exact words. I hope she don't listen to this because she goes, no, I'm talking about her.
Right, because regular schmegler, yeah, that's a tag.
So it was like, you know, and that to me, I can't have that. You know, like, I don't want to be
regular. But the thing is, though, like, it doesn't even, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay for
because
her.
What? Well, no. Meaning, it's okay that you can't, that you don't want to deal with that. Because here's the thing: where people get caught up in bullshit in relationships and dating, they what women will do is women will see a dude and be like, "Oh my God, he's so fine," and then they start trying on last names and they imagine a relationship. Yeah. They don't know anything about this dude, so but they have. It's like Build-A-Bear. They basically have put together what he is for them, and then when he's not that, then they're kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to try to make him this. Or, you know, but when you're dating somebody, that's the point of dating, is to figure out if you are compatible. Exactly. And when she makes the statement that, okay, I'm good with being regular, that tells you, yeah,
it ain't for me.
I don't really want to date you.
Damn.
So then, but she really kind of shouldn't be upset. Because if you want, if she's okay with being regular, she maybe needs to find a dude that's either right, A, that's okay with being regular, or B, okay with her being regular.
Yeah. And that's,
'cause it can go either one of those ways. But when you see somebody that isn't okay with that, that's okay. Let them go, because that ain't for you.
Yeah. So
instead of hanging on to somebody or trying to hang on to somebody that isn't what you're looking for, or you're not what they're looking for. But because people get together and start having kids and different things, and then you look, and even when the relationship doesn't work out, you're still tied to that person because you got a fucking kid.
Exactly. Now, it's forced. And so what I'm saying now, I have a buddy of mine. He has kids, and he's the one that got interviewed for the book. He has a son with this woman, and the issue comes up with them is like the son. I can see the insecurities coming in him already, because he's upset that his dad talks about his sister. That's not, they don't have the same parents. So it's like, so he's like, I don't like the way you talk about my sister, but he don't know how to tell that to his dad. So he tells it to his aunt. So I was like, well, he trying to get that out to my, but he wants to be around it, but he's starting to resent his dad because his dad disrespects his mom and his sister. So now he like, this is how I'm supposed to treat women. But his dad is on like taking out, he's like, hey, you don't be soft. You got to be the alpha male, all this, be the lone wolf, aggressive and all that. So now you have this kid thinking like that. The kid's on like, I forgot who he is. But like you have this kid thinking like that, coming up, seeing how his dad treats women. But he wants to be like his dad. So what do you think is going to happen to him as time goes on? You know, he's just gonna follow the same pattern, and so that's why I was saying, like, so many kids, they fall into that, like that path, because I try to get him like, hey man, you got a kid, man, it's cool, just like kill it with kindness, man, like try to be a better example. You know, if you don't like her, because like they were in love,
right? But the problem is a lot of times because men don't have a fundamental respect for women.
Yeah,
if it's their mother. Then possibly. Well, yeah, that's my mom's. Okay, well, everybody is somebody's mother, except me, apparently. But everybody is somebody's oh, never mind. I got a kid now. Sorry, son. But because they don't have a respect for women, they don't worry about what they teach their sons. And that's they don't understand that your son, that we are male and female. Your son needs that balance. And you have to teach them how to respect women, because if not, like I was telling my nephew, I go, there's no other culture of men beyond black men who denigrate their women on music like black men do.
Are we the only ones that go on for social media and explain why we don't date black women? I have no idea why brothers do that. I'm like, why? If that's your opinion, why do you have to share that with the world? Hey, that's your opinion, man. You don't have to say this is why y'all shouldn't date black women. Hey, that's your opinion. You want, and my thing is, this is my take. If any brothers out there that's listening to this, if y'all date white women, don't date black women. If you feel like you take this in offense, hey, this is probably you. If I feel like a brother don't date black women at all, I'd be like, you don't know your culture. That's how I feel. If you know anything about your culture, I guarantee you that you will for sure dump that white girl. I won't lie, because why, I've seen it happen before. This guy, he was married to a white woman. He started to learn his roots, learn his culture, started to learn more about his people and his heritage. He dumped his wife, divorced her.
Did they have kids?
No.
Okay.
So he got lucky. So I was like,
I'm good.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, if you could just disrespect a black woman so easily, because it's what we hear in the music, what we see on TV so often.
And if you don't understand what black women do, if you don't realize what black women do, and I think one of the things that hampers black people is we kind of compete to see who has been victimized the most.
Yeah.
And because we do that, it's just a fight. No. It's a constant fight. And for black men who don't date black women, I don't really care if you date black women or not. In a perfect world, sure. Sure, that's what you would do. But if you don't, it's okay. My problem, my hang up with it is stop talking shit about us. If you want a white girl or a Mexican girl or an Asian girl, go get one. Exactly. But quit talking shit about us in the process. Because I thought like out with a white dude, I don't go and go, oh, I can't stand them niggas. They get on my motherfucking nerves. I don't say any of that shit because it doesn't have anything to do. Exactly. My rationale for dating him is how he has treated me.
Yeah.
That's it. It never even comes up in conversation. It's not, well, because he knew he was the first white guy that I dated too. But it's not one of those deals where, black men did this, and this. Or he'll say, why are you single? He cannot understand why I'm single.
Yeah.
But to him, it's a different thing. Like with black men, if they go, why are you single? They just kind of, they've already formulated an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
His is a little different deal because he was like, you are pretty fucking spectacular. Why are you not married? But I can't get into the whole, the woes of black men and how they don't like to deal, by and large, they don't like to deal with black women that are like me, if I don't need you, if I'm there, it's because I want to be there. I don't even get into all that stuff with him because to me, that's family business and I'm not necessarily saying that to him. I basically just go, I don't know. Yeah. I go, any number of reasons. And or what I usually will tell them is, because people don't get to pick me. I pick who I want.
Yeah.
I don't go into the particulars. And I hate when black men do that. If you want to date whoever, if your mother was hard on you and shit was just bad, and you feel like we are the most argumentative, the most whatever it is that they say, because they'll tell everybody all kind of shit about us.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. Just go ahead and date her.
Now, I hear it a lot, like guys I meet out here, they'll be like, yeah, I got this white girl. Yeah, I had to leave them sisters alone. I never asked you anything about why you don't date sisters. But it feel like they, like, the few that I do know that only date, that don't date black women, period, they always say why they don't date black women. I'm like, I didn't ask you that. Like, you don't have to tell me. I do.
And we don't care.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care that you, if you do or you don't. So, like, I do. I only date black women. So, it's like, to me, that's what I like. So it just feels better to me. And
And it's a natural flow.
Yeah.
It's a natural flow.
Yeah, I like
it. I think one of the things that happens with, that I won't even speak for anybody else. What happened with me is, and I may have even talked about it on the show, the guy that I go out with is just nice to me.
Yeah.
He is just nice to me. And it's not... There's no bullshit. There's not a lot of silly conversation. There's not game playing. There's none of that stuff. He's just a nice dude. And if anything comes up, if he's dating somebody because he lives someplace else, if he's dating somebody and, I say, I may be coming up for a visit because I have, a couple friends that live there. He'll just let me know that he's seeing somebody.
No.
He's honest when he doesn't necessarily have to be. He could get away with being dishonest and I would never know it, but he's honest anyway. And I find that, which was a hard decision for me with black men. I understand there are certain hangups that come with being a black man a lot of times, but I also know that black men exploit them.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, I don't really want to get married and I kind of like what we got going on, and then let the woman decide, they will play a silly game, whatever the game may be, because there's a few of them. But then they are wasting the chick's time, and then they're, the woman is pissed off. And my deal, first of all, that's kind of sorry for him to do that. But as a woman, you're not going to waste my time.
Yeah.
You're not going to waste my time, because as I told the dude that's great on paper, I know the nature of men.
Mm-hmm.
When you are a man and you love a woman, or you care, you think she could be the one, or could be even in the neighborhood of being the one, your behavior toward her is different.
Yeah, different.
And as a woman, I know what that looks like. I had a guy that did all of those things. And basically he told me, he goes, well, don't watch what I do. Listen to what I say. And he was like, I don't want to get married. Okay, that's all you have to do is tell me.
No.
I broke up with him and moved out of town. And he was like, what the fuck just happened? I'm like, you, I don't play. When you let me know that that's not what you're doing, and I'm not even necessarily interested in, oh my gosh, I need to run out and get married. But I know if I run into a dude who is marriage material, I know what that looks like. So when you, when I see you as that, and then you tell me, okay, well, you don't want to do that. Okay, you don't have to. But I'm not going to stay here and try to convince you either. I was gone, and he was so pissed. He was so pissed off and hurt. I was like, well, you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but see, good thing he did say it, though, because good thing you didn't go stab him. But I always tell
I can't go to jail. Orange women, is not my new black. I can't do that.
That is true.
Yeah.
I always tell women, you know, my business is my main focus, because, like, I went full-time fitness trainer a year ago. So it's like me building my business is like everything to me. So I tell women straight up, hey, I'm not looking for nothing serious. Hey, if you want to go out, we're going on a couple of dates. My time is going to be like real thin because, hey, if work calls, I'm going. That's my main focus right now. So with me going back and forth, when, and I used to, I used to play those like games like, okay, leading them on, don't tell them what I'm really looking for, something like that when I was like 25, 26. But now it's like, man, I know what my focus is. I know what I want. I'm like, if you really not, if you don't want to be here, cool, go be with somebody else. And most of the time when you tell them like, hey, I'll probably see you like once a week or once every couple weeks, they'd be cool with it. You know, because,
and
like,
because every, here's the thing though, what men don't understand is you really don't have to lie to women. You're setting the tone if you can just be honest and say, hey, you know what, I'm really busy or I'm not really looking for anything serious. I see other people, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to lie to women because they may not want that either. Every chick doesn't want to get married. Maybe she just wants you creep in after the sun go down and get your ass up and get out before it comes up. But that's, I think, true. It hurts men's feelings to know that.
It does, because
men want women to need them. Exactly. So when they leave, they feel like, oh my gosh, she's falling apart. But every chick isn't that way.
Exactly.
So sometimes, and men have to realize, sometimes you're just a dick. You just a dick. Yeah. You provide a service, and it's okay. And sometimes you provide the service, like I said, after the sun go down and the street lights come on, you go ahead and sneak in, and then you got to get on out here before these kids wake up or before my neighbors see you leaving or whatever it is. That's what you do. Other dudes, they provide that same service, but maybe you go hang out with them, go to the movies, have dinner. It's that thing. But you have to, you will learn that about women if you are honest with them.
Yeah.
And then you see what it is that they want. Every chick don't want to be your wife.
Exactly.
She may want to be somebody's wife. It doesn't mean she wants to be your wife. And it also means that if you tell her this, you give her the option of saying, okay, yes, I'm interested.
That is true. Yeah.
I'm interested in X, Y, and Z, whatever this is. But if you're the dude that goes in lying and misleading, which is one of the reasons why women are angry, like particularly with black women, because you don't have to lie.
Yeah. The truth, they're still probably more willing to be around you.
And maybe they'll just hang around for a couple weeks. Maybe they think, okay, he'll change, and they hang around for a couple weeks, couple months, and then when they feel like you're not going to, then they leave. They haven't invested too much time. They understand that you meant what you said, and they're gone. So ain't nobody bitter. But that's one of the things. If people, when you don't lie to people that you care about.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, I don't mean inconsequentialized, because sometimes shit just ain't your business. And sometimes people may not be honest with you just because they're embarrassed. I don't mean those types of lies. I mean, hey, you know what? I'm really digging you. Let's see each other exclusively. That type of lie strings somebody along, and they may have somebody approach them that would be a better option. But because you have told that lie, they now miss out on this better option.
Yeah.
But you have to have integrity to tell the truth, to say, you have to have the integrity to tell the truth and be fearless enough to understand that, hey, you know what? I'm telling her that I'm not, you know, this is not a serious thing for me. And I know that if she meets somebody else, or maybe she just decides she's good, she's cool with it, then she'll walk away.
Yeah.
You have to understand that that comes with it. And that's one of the things that I kind of don't get with dudes. It's an unnecessary lie.
It's the ego. It's all in the ego.
That's horrible, because I don't.
It is horrible.
Do they not realize what they're doing? You're destroying women.
I do believe they know what they're doing, but
they don't care.
I don't believe they do. Like, I won't even lie to you. Yeah, like you say, it's like in the culture, because like the day and age now, it's like, man, you know, she know I'm out here. Like, I don't want nothing serious. So it's like he telling this lie. And like, but his actions are really showing. But once you, what I believe, once you plant that seed with that lie, and she think that you do want want that, she'll put up with all the BS that you
absolutely.
Like doing. So,
but that's because black women have been taught. I mean, I think it's normal, I guess, for women to want to be married. But black women have been taught about black men that basically, you know, you kind of got to let them get it out of their system, or half a man is better than no man, or you're going to end up by yourself, or you know, whatever.
Man, being by yourself ain't that bad. I be like being alone.
It's fan fucking tastic.
No headaches, no stress, and a lot of money in my pocket.
Do whatever it is you feel like doing, whenever you feel like doing it. You don't. I have no problems being alone. I got on a plane and went to London by myself.
Can't beat it.
I'm gone. I don't care. I'm looking for my next trip. I want to go to Italy. I will go by myself. I don't have to have somebody with me. I am not afraid to live my life because I don't have a dude. Who's got time for that?
So many guys grow up and see their mothers, their aunts, their grandparents always seeing like the needed that guy, their dad or their grandfather, their uncle, always needing that guy. So when you have that mindset, it's like, okay, I'm out here. These women going to need me. You know, and when you, like you said earlier, if a man feel like she don't need him, he butt hurt. So I even had a woman tell me straight up, like, she's like, I don't want nothing from you. I just want you, like, for this weekend. And I was like, it shocked me, but I was like, cool. Because really, I'm like.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure on my end. So it's like, but all women, like you said, all women out there that's cool with, like, not don't want to be your wife. And so, and I'm okay with that 100% because like I said my mind is focused on my business. If we can hang out, hey, I get a break, some free time, we hang out for a little bit, cool, have a good time, and I go back to my business, I'm all good. But a lot of times guys don't afraid of losing her walking away, so it's like, you know what, I'm gonna just kind of just play around and just like, just so she don't go nowhere, or he don't want another guy that's in town to have her.
He's keeping her as an option.
Exactly. So, you know. And that's the sad part of it, you know.
Cause yeah, but it's so much, and it's time wasted. And the way that I look at that is, in this life, you got this life. That's it. That is all you have. I wouldn't want to be responsible for other people's misery.
That's how I feel. That's why I'd be like, hey.
Yeah,
hey.
I don't want to be responsible for someone else's misery. I don't want to look at you and realize I wasted, you know, 5 years of your life. Or I don't want to be that person because that's time that they can't get back. And they basically donated that time because of something that you said.
Yeah.
But I think that, again, speaks to there's a certain level of maturity that has to come into play for men, but I'm specifically talking about black men, to be able to be honest. And I think it is the same way that white people are about institutional racism. It benefits them.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily that interested in changing it.
Exactly.
I think it benefits men to play the games that they play. And they'll take the losses when you get, because what I'm finding now is you have lots of black women who are smart, who are funny, who are educated, who are good women that are dating other than black men.
Yeah.
But they'll, and they'll complain about it on Facebook. They're the most cryingest motherfuckers in the world. Black men are the white people of black people. They will complain. They complain about black women and weave. They complain about black women and fake nails. They fake asses, fake whatever. But we'll fuck them all.
They would.
Whatever you mad about, you ain't saying no. You know, you're not going to turn it down, which to me tells me you're not very principled because you don't really mean it. Like, I don't like fat dudes. I don't give a fuck how fat you are. I don't like you.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I ain't gonna say that. Nobody ain't about to get on me. I'll train you. But
well, that's different. I mean, I'm just talking about in terms of being intimate with somebody. I don't care for heavy men. But I think I just feel like there's an emotional and mental maturity that is lacking with black men. And I also think that it is done. I think that a lot of times they realize that it's missing. They don't want it.
No.
Because having it means you have to do better. You have to be better. You have to do more. And that means you have to be a better husband. You have to be a better father. You have to be a better person. And I don't know that they necessarily want to be better because it requires more work.
I wouldn't necessarily say, for some, I would say don't want to be better. But for some, because I think it put it back onto my situation. It's like I used to use women as a filler for the void, the gap that I had that I was missing. So it's like you just like, all right, I'm going to go and play these games. I'm going to just fill it with these women just to like distract me from what the real issue is. So when I took the time, like when I went full time with my fitness, I had to sit back because everybody left. Like we talk about going from six figures to five figures. It's like everybody leave, but I mean, wasn't nobody talking to me. So it was like, when you do that, you have time to like, okay, nobody's here, so I don't have nobody to like kind of replace this issue that I'm dealing with. So you have more time to look at yourself. So you're like, okay, either I'm about to let this kind of defeat me or like really just address it. So I just started working on addressing it. And so you do have to do make decisions to be better because to get over a lot of stuff that you was filling it with because you got to start treating people different. Because now you're like, okay, I got to treat myself different. And I'm looking at it differently. Since I'm not going to use these people to be my, you know, my
you interact with them differently.
Yeah, so like, yeah, and that's true. So you have to be better in a sense. But it's like, I do believe that a lot of guys are using women and like the dating scene, no matter if they're young, old,
to not deal with what they have going on.
Really going on. And like you say, the thing that it stems from is that childhood, like them kids growing up, seeing how their fathers were, seeing how their uncles were, seeing the examples of men not being in the household. It's like, even though a lot of it came from institutional racism, you know, but it's like that created a mindset, a frame of mind for men, like, be like, I don't have to be there. You know, I can leave the kids with her. So it's like they don't feel they have to be a part. I'll make the baby, but oh well, I just was there for her.
And they just don't. I think it's probably difficult for, it's probably scary, I would think, for men to do something different like that.
It is, because we get stuck in our ways. And once you get stuck in your ways, it's like, man, I don't want change. You know, you don't really want to change. I don't want to even lie to you. There's some things I didn't want to give up. I ain't gonna be at you. There's some things.
Like
some
what?
Some women I didn't want to give up.
Okay.
But it was like, you know, you get to the point, it's like, man, if I continue on this path, it's like, I know what's gonna happen. I'm gonna end up probably.
But do you tell the women?
Yeah, the women know how I am. They know.
No. I'm saying, but when you're ready to stop doing that, when you're ready to change, do you then tell them why?
So what? So how it started with me, it was like, I would disappear. That was my thing of like, how it's like, if a woman got too close, I would just like, it go MIA. And so I knew I had to change that because someone really cared about me. And I would just up and jump ship. So when it got to the point where I was like starting to learn more about myself. And so when I started back dating, meeting people, and like some people came back around or whatnot, it got to the point where I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And this is why I'm reacting the way I am. I had a young lady tell me, I just like went in my own her. She's like, you acting different. I was like, it's because I lost trust in her because now I got to tell you this story. So I lost trust
I'm
in
listening.
Her. So this is what happened. Like, you know, I'm not drinking for a year. So to me, this is a real important thing for me because I'm like, a lot of people say, man, you ain't gonna be able to do that for the whole year because I used to drink heavy. You know, I used to drink to kind of escape from some things, work.
Yeah, whatever. But you know what's gonna happen after you haven't, how long have you been not drinking?
It's been 6 months.
When you finish, your system is going to be clean. The first shot is going
to
kill you.
That's why I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go back. Yeah, I might go back to mimosas. That's about it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Done.
So it was like, I invited this young lady out to a party. And I was like, you know what? I was feeling her. So I said, you know what? Let me just go. You know, I'm not out to running the streets like I used to because I really ain't got that time. So I said, man, come on out. We're going to invite her to my homie spot. And we're at this costume party. And no lie. So she knew about my sobriety. She, I like, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing none of that. And it, like, she knew how important it was to me. So she was like, hey, I got a pineapple and Sprite. Have some. All I can remember in my head is as I was pulling a cup up to my mouth and seeing her look like this. And I sipped it. It was a mojito. I was so upset because as soon as it touched my tongue, I instantly got infuriated. I was like, I just wanted to cuss over. Me being calm, not being the person I have to woo-sah, I caught myself. And all I said was, that's fucked up. So I pushed away from put the drink. I had to sit still for a minute. Because internally, I was like, I felt betrayed. Because I'm like, this is somebody.
She sabotaged you.
Yeah. So I said, this is somebody I actually opened up to, knew how important this was to me. Because like it was like, to me, it's like a very big thing for me. Because I was like, work on consistency. Because
you're committed to it.
Exactly. So if I'm going to be consistent with this, I'm consistent with everything else that I do. And so for this being so important to me, I felt like, how can you betray me like that? You knew how big it was to me. And so my mind.
And what's
like,
the point? What do you get out of it?
Exactly. So I was like, so I left. And then I came back. So even if you say you're sorry, it's like, it doesn't matter. Because as a man, once I give you my trust and you betray me, I don't even want to
be around. As a person. It's not just me as a person.
And that is true. But see, for me, it was like, and bad enough, it was already to the point like, I don't open up to people as it is. Mm-hmm. So if I accept you and take that opportunity to open up to you and let you know some shit that really I don't like sharing with people at all, even like mm-hmm. my family. So if you know this and you do that, you know how serious I am about things.
She's not
and
trustworthy.
You do that, yeah, so now I'm like, I can't trust you. I feel betrayed. And so then it's like, I closed off. And so then it was like, every woman that came around for like the next like month, I was like, can't trust none of them. You know, because.
This one. His girlfriend cheated on him, so he swear three times, he said.
Three times, son?
But he'll say, he goes, Auntie, all women cheat. I go, no, all women don't. He goes,
they all
yes, don't
cheat, dog. You go, hey, bro.
I told him, I don't. I've never cheated.
Dog, I'm telling you, watch. In about 5 years, she's going to probably have 2-3 kids. Like, you're going to be good. You're going to have a bad chick with you. She's still in Fresno? Dog, I dated a chick in Fresno. They ain't got nothing in Fresno. I'm just saying. So, like, dude, if she stayed there, you good, bro. You in Dallas, so don't even trip it. But, like, to me, it was like, that whole situation, it was like, I was like, what do I do with this?
Well, then you have to determine, too, as a woman, because for me, I understand that, generally speaking, it takes a bit for men to open up.
Yeah.
Just men are just, they tend to be very guarded a lot of times. So when a man is opening up, you kind of have to pay attention, and then you really need to determine where this is going. Because if he's opening up and you're cool with this and you handle it, it's everything's okay. And then you look 2, 3, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, whatever it is, he opens up about something else. You really need to know that he is trusting you.
Yeah.
And then you have to be careful with how you handle that.
Yeah.
You have to be careful with it. Like the guy, the white guy, he will talk about whatever. It does not bother him, which is really foreign to me because I'm used to dealing with black men and they don't say shit.
Don't
I'm like,
say shit.
What? You're talking like normal. This is a normal conversation. Uh-huh. But what I found is if I'm at his place, like the last time I visited, I was sleeping. First of all, he was at work when I got there, and I was asleep. I said, just call me when you're like an hour before you know you're going to get home. Let me know. He calls me, wakes me up. I get up. I go to the store. I buy everything we're going to eat for the weekend. I know what he drinks, so I buy him that. Because I'm like, okay, we may go hang out or whatever, but pretty much if we're in, we're in. And he said something about me sleeping. I said, that's because I'm really, really comfortable around you. That meant more to him. For me to say that I'm comfortable there, then like to him, because he is a talker, it's not a big deal to him that he talks to me. Yeah. It's a big deal to me because I don't hear it from black men. Exactly. But for him, when I say, no, I'm really comfortable here, or, you know, he's got a party that he's got to go to. I was like, well, do you want to go? You want me to go? You know, how do you want to do this? Whatever. He goes like, I don't know. He goes, do you want to go? And I go, not really, but do you want, you know, we have this conversation. Yeah. And okay. He was like, I'm going to go. You don't have to worry about it. I'll stay for an hour. That way you're my reason to leave or whatever. Yeah. But we can have that conversation. And I recognize when I'm dealing with him that I'm, when he's talking to me, I'm not as guarded. I don't sit and go, I wonder if he's lying. I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And not that he would have ever lie, but I know it's not going to be about silly shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be like I may text him and whatever. I go, are you dating somebody? Oh, you know, just, you know, I said, are you seeing somebody? He goes, just regular dating, you know, whatever. Yeah. And we go, because he's honest about it. And what that does is it makes me trust him. And we're not dating seriously, but it makes me trust him. But then it also, when I deal with someone else, let's just say if I'm dealing with a black dude, the second they lie, I know they're lying. Mm-hmm. So now I'm disinterested.
I know they're lying.
Yeah. And I used to be a stripper, so I know when you start talking, I know you're lying any goddamn way. I'm like, dude, I used to get paid a lot of money to sit and listen to this, and I know you're lying. Yeah. But once you realize that, you begin to move away. Yeah. You move away from the bullshit. Whatever the bullshit may be, and I don't necessarily say that, oh, it's black men, but whatever that is, you move away from it because you're looking for that comfort level or what pulled you to that person. You're looking to be able to be relaxed around them, to not have to worry about, oh, well, you know, I wonder if he's lying about this, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. You move away from that. And I think that's one of the things that, well, I'm not really big on dating anyway. but that's really good for me. And because of that, I don't really want to be bothered with a bunch of bullshit anyway, but that experience with him made it for me, so I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in fixing a dude. I'm not interested in, you know, what's wrong? Or I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
You just have to be... It's really a give and take with people. You really have to understand, as women, particularly with black men, when I'm sure it's with anybody, but again, I'm talking about black men. When they start to open up and share things, you really have to be mindful of how you handle that. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're telling you, you cannot bring it up later and say, well, that's why your mama hit you with that skillet that one time. Cause you know what I mean? You can't say any of those things because they have trusted you with that information, right. So you can't get mad and throw it back at them, you know. Or the men can't do it to women.
That is true, too. You know.
But I think it's just I think there's a certain level. There has to be a desire to develop, and then a certain level that you need to develop to where you can where you're comfortable enough with yourself and you're mature enough to just say. Okay, I'm just gonna tell the truth.
Yeah,
that's why I'm telling my nephew. When you beat women, first of all, you're not trying to be dating. You shouldn't
it's
be
so
trying
easy
to date
to tell
somebody.
Them the truth in the beginning, like you gotta just, man, if you tell them truth, in the
and then you
it's
don't
so
have
easy.
Any not that yeah. you don't have any responsibility, but when you lie to somebody, you are then responsible because you've created an alternate reality for them. If you go ahead and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm seeing other people, or I'm just dating. This is not exclusive. When you explain it and you lay it out, she is then responsible for her shit. She is then responsible. She comes back and goes, well, no, I thought we were dating. Well, no. I told you X. And your behavior needs to mirror what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you do that, then you'll stop a lot of bullshit.
That is true.
Because then the women have to own their shit. Because if right now, well, no, because we were talking and he said, you know, we were dating and it was this and it was that and it was blah, 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 whatever. And it's all those things. And I'm like, okay, well, you lied.
Yeah.
You lied. You fed her some bullshit to set a scene that benefited you.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's mad and she put a fucking brick through your car window or slashed three of your four tires. Because if you slash three, the insurance doesn't pay for them. But if you slash all four, the insurance will take care of it. Just a little tip.
Damn.
It's the truth. What? Chicks over dicks? Team chicks over dicks.
Well, I ain't never had no vehicles vandalized. So therefore, like I always say, if you tell them the truth in the beginning, it's much easier. Now, my go-to man is to say, hey, I'm focusing on what I'm doing right now. In your case, just be like, hey, I'm still growing right now, learning who I am. You want a date? Cool. But nothing serious. Hey, you may find some serious. Don't trust it right now. I was just saying.
I mean, even if it is, I think as black men have got to get, if they can make it through their 20s without making forever decisions, that are like detrimental, like kids, marriage, you know, kids and divorce. Well, you can get married and get a divorce, I guess, but it's usually there's something that comes with that. There's negative stuff that comes with that.
Yeah.
So if you can make it through your 20s without having to make those mistakes, and you're good, because usually what happens is your 30s are spent recovering from your 20s.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. You whatever decisions you're making in your late teens and early 20s into your you're going to recover from those in your 30s. So you make as few mistakes as you can and, you know, sidestep as many potholes as you can, and you'll be okay. But if you, as men, I think if men aren't brave enough to want to be better, if they just don't want to be better, they're not going to be better, and evolution is going to move black men away from black women.
True. I agree with you on that one, because like you say, more black women are, you know, exploring more other options, because I'm not even against it, because I'm like, brothers just been slipping. You know, I look at so many celebrity black females that go out to these other races, Halle Berry, Serena Williams, get pregnant, and next thing you know, I'm like, damn. Like, but they tried brothers for so long, and brothers just come up short. But then so many brothers got that mindset, like, you know, it's so many of y'all. How can I give up all this extra black booty?
And they, you know, playing the numbers.
Exactly. So with that, it's like they're like, okay, we have the blacks as well and other races. So a lot of brothers just know they just gotta feel. I feel like they fill that void with something like go at that void that they're trying to fill and try to heal that Debbie off on a better start.
Well, time's up.
Jam.
Time's up. Mr. Micah, thank you. I don't know where my partner in crime went. He's over there getting ready for his show. Okay. He's on the clean side over there.
Yeah, he is. No cussing.
Nephew, maybe we get to talk to him. Okay, he's sneaking back in to say bye to everybody.
My bad.
No, you're good. You're good.
All right, guys.
Plug your show.
It's Uncommon Sense. We're about to start right now on the A side, the side where we cannot cuss. But we are on the A side. It's Uncommon Sense, 8 to 10 every Wednesday night. Tonight we're talking about the LGBTQ community and all the discrimination and the unfairness that goes on. And I'll just say this real quick. It stemmed from someone letting me know that they think that that community of people gets the benefit of the doubt more than what they should. So they here to address it.
They do.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about it.
I can't come over
there. Yeah, so, we're about to have that conversation. It's on the A side.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Micah.
Appreciate it.
Nephew, next time. We are out. I will see you all next week on the radio.